silent. We will not be quiet. We will not be silent.
Father God, we love you, Lord. We give you all praise and all glory and all honor. Praise and all glory and all honor, Lord, for you're worthy, Lord, you're worthy.
disappear. Will hold me back no more.
Yes!
I will not be silent. I was born to worship. I will not be quiet. Of fear will hold me back no more, no more. I will not be silent. I was born to born to do great things. God is alive. is a victory that releases glory. Worship is the key. Worship is my destiny. Is a victory that releases glory. Worship is the key. Worship is my destiny. Worship is the victory.
Open up! Let the King of Glory in. 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 Let the King of Glory in.
Is the key.
this morning. We thank you, Father. We bless you, Lord. We thank you, God. Lifting up your name this morning, giving you praise, giving you glory, giving you honor. Loving you, Lord. Loving you, Lord. Yes. Yes.
Come on, just for a couple more minutes. Come on, lift your voice. Nothing like corporate worship to get the attention of heaven. We declare that you are the God who does great things. We declare you are the God who is more than enough. You are El Shaddai, the God who is more than enough. You are the God who does great things. You do great things in us. You do great things for us. you do great things through us. Come on, just for a couple moments, I just want you to focus on that He's the one who does great things. You are the one who does things that science can't explain. You are the one. Come on, I'm telling you, there's miracles in this atmosphere right now. You are the one that defy what science says, Lord. When they say our body's dead, you say come to life. Come on, there's a healing anointing in the room right now. Come on, begin to magnify. You do great things. You're the one who does great things. Sure, I'm a miracle. Nothing is impossible with you. Come on, nothing is impossible with Him. Let the spirit of faith begin to arise in this room. Nothing is impossible. Only believe. Nothing is impossible. Only believe. You're a miracle worker, God. Lord, we ask you to release miracles. Miracles in this place this morning, Lord. Sick loved ones, Lord, we say heal them in this atmosphere right now, Lord, that are not even here. The eyes see. My ears hear. The lame walk. We thank you, Lord, that you have seated us in heavenly places in Christ. That we look down on things because we're seated with you. Come on, begin to see yourself as seated with Him in the heavenlies. We are seated with you. We are seated with you, and we reign with you. Father, I thank you that you're releasing the rain of heaven. Oh, yes, I hear you, Lord. See, here for a while, there's been a difference in the atmosphere, in the sound of the worship, but I just believe that there's a raining that's coming. Not R-A-I-N, R-E-I-G-N. Lord, we ask you to release the rain of heaven. We thank you that kingdom is being established, that the kingdoms of this world are becoming the kingdoms of our God and His Christ. We thank you, Lord, for all across the cities of America, that the kingdom of God is being established in cities all across the globe, Lord. The rain of heaven is coming. We thank you, Lord, that yes, Lord, those that suffer with you shall also reign with you. We thank you, Lord, for a generation of people who have gone through suffering, but the season is shifting and it's time to reign. We rule and reign with you, Lord. Where you go, we go. Come on, we rule and reign with you, Lord. We rule and reign with you, God. We rule and reign. Kingdom reign is coming. Come on, the reign of the kingdom.
you can destroy the snake. The government of God shall be established. Turn to your seat. I want to give you time to sow, but I want you, as you're thinking about that, our God reigns. How does He reign? He reigns through you. God does nothing in the earth except He does it through human being. So you got to begin to see that He wants to reign, but you are the ones to enforce. You are the enforcers in the earth. You are the ecclesia in the earth. So Lord, we bless you. Some of you, I know, put your tithe and offering where you usually do. Some are used to doing that, some are not. So we're going to give you an opportunity to sow before we get into the Word this morning. Such a presence here, it's hard to do anything. Father, we just thank you that the needs of the house are met. We thank you that you rebuke the devourer for our sakes, that you cause us to lend and not borrow, to be above and not beneath. And every place the sole of our foot treads, we possess it for the kingdom of God. We thank you right now, Lord, for breaking the strategies of the enemy and releasing blessing into the lives of every person in this place. We bless you and honor you in Jesus' name. If the kids would come forward, please, while you're passing those. Lord, we just bless you. We honor you. We thank you, Father. I'd like to stay here for about 3 hours. Father, we ask you to baptize the children of this house with the Holy Ghost and fire. Cause them to burn for you, Lord. We thank you for the gifts, the callings of God over their lives. We stir up their gifts. May they see signs, wonders, miracles. May they do the work of the ministry to the four corners of the earth. We thank you that you open their ears, that you open their eyes, and that you let the blessing of the Lord rest on them. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, thank you for being here today. Jesus is here, I know that. I just want to tell you a couple things. It's next Saturday here at Maryland. Yeah. This Saturday coming up, Sean will be ministering at a meeting in Maryland. We want to take as many young people, young adults, and if you're involved in the young adults or youth, we want to take you to that. We can take the church bus to do that. So if you would hang around a little bit after church, if you're interested in doing that, we want to take some people there. I believe it'll be a time, a time of impact for you. And we really don't want to send him alone. We'd like to send some people with him. So it can be a life-changing time for you. So we'll talk to you after service about that. You'll hang back and you'll have interest in going. Also, just let me tell you this. This week, we want to seriously ramp up once we get past the 4th of July. We want to ramp up effort on working at the building in Brush Fork. And really, in my mind, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, definitely Friday and Saturday. And here's what we need. I'll be sending out some stuff on this. But if you've never been, now's your time. We want to set up some evenings and set up a Saturday where men who have not been able to come because the work days have been during the day, we may set up something where we're working all day and all evening, but we need to make a push right now, so we need you. We need you to plan on a Saturday, Friday evening, or some evenings so that we can get some horsepower that we've not had yet. We all realize you're working during the day, but we're going to make a push here in the next couple weeks to do everything that can be done. So I'm telling you that now. I'll send out more information as to when. But particularly if you work during the day and have not participated, we're now getting to the point where we want to. There's everything to do from cleaning. We need a cleaning team. We need painting. We're also going to take out the sprinkler system. There's all kinds of stuff to be done. So if you're breathing, or check yourself and see if you're breathing. If you're breathing, I'm talking to you. So we want you to put your shoulder to the plow. Let's pull together as a team and get this thing done. So if you don't come, you will be spanked. Okay, we'll just leave it there. But anyway, Amy's going to bring you the word this morning. She's been teaching on marriage, and I just felt like since Denver was here last week, I just wanted to give her the whole time today to share with you. And let me tell you something. If you're married, be quiet and listen. If you're not married, for God's sake, be quiet and listen. Because when it comes upon you, you will be much more, you'll be much better off having had the information. Don't wait. You know, that's funny, really. I'm going to say this right here. They don't give you a certification for anything unless you go through training, except marriage. You cannot get one certification, doctor, lawyer, nurse. Heck, you can't even work at Walmart without a time of certification. They let anybody get married. Amen, glory to God. So you better learn about it now. Don't wait till you get on-the-job training. Who in here's had on-the-job training in marriage? Everybody. So learn as much as you can now. So welcome Amy as she comes with me.
Sorry. Yeah, obviously I'm not Amy. She's the better looking of the two. I apologize for getting up here in this way. As you guys know, I'm really not a microphone hog, and really feel like I'm in a season, and I have begged God just to let me shut up, because I'm really in that place. So please hear me out. Number one, I want to apologize because I missed the timing of the Lord. Okay, and that was my fault. I was waiting for eye contact with Doyle, and he's done told me over and over, you know when to say something, you say it. Okay, so I want to apologize to you for that. Before I say what the Lord has shown me, it doesn't just have to be young people, even the young adults that would like to go this weekend. It's just right above Fairmont, so when you think of Maryland, you're thinking, oh my gosh. And it's not because I'm going to be there, but I know Mike and Sandy Robinson, have been doing this. It's called Fire in the Mountains. They have been doing this for a few years, and it keeps getting bigger and bigger, and they really continually talk about the glory of the Lord and really what happens to those that attend. Now, yes, I'll be ministering, but there'll be another fellow closing it out by the name of Keith Collins. I met Keith up at Fairmont doing a conference at Apostle John's, and Keith carries an amazing mantle, anointing, prophetic for evangelism, revival, and he's been at it a long time, and he's connected to a lot of people. Matter of fact, he's so connected, he's personal friends with Reinhard Bonnke and a lot of big names. You'll recognize that one along those lights. So you would be changed. That's the main thing. You would be changed to have a trip up there. And we're going to take the bus, the van out there. Is that correct, Dole? So I would encourage you to do that, not because I'm going to be there. Now, as I was standing here in worship, the Lord showed me a young man on a surfboard, and he was riding a big wave. And on the surfboard wrote Father's House. And I thought, that's peculiar. Why are you showing me that? And he spoke these words to me. He said, be sure and tell Father's House to continue to ride the wave of momentum that they're on now. Now, momentum is a funny thing. And so if we look at why he showed me a young man on a surfboard, I want you to think about something. If you have ever run into a true surfer, They'll get on these big waves and they'll ride them. And as soon as that wave comes down and they have to stop, what do? They go immediately back out to get on a wave. They continually get on that big wave or that wave of momentum and ride it over and over. Now, here's the thing about surfers is, do you know that they'll actually get in waters over and over continually with great whites in them just to surf? Just to be able to surf, just to be able to get on that wave. No matter what the hazards or no matter what comes against them, they're going to get on that wave and ride it. Now, also, some of the words that we use and we try to be cool, Dull and I, we're a little bit too old for this, but you'll hear stuff like rad and totally tubular and I'm stoked, you know, and all these things. And most of these guys are clean, healthy living. They're in shape dudes, but you would think they're on something, but really what they do is they're riding high because they ride those waves all the time and they have that surf lifestyle and it puts them on a high. Now, momentum is a funny thing. Now, here's what I want to talk about. We've got some momentum going because we merged. When we merged together, it caused some excitement. And it caused a lot of momentum to come our way. But what you have to understand about momentum is the enemy is always trying to stop your momentum. Have you ever even heard the expression with momentum, like somebody had it, and that you'll hear them say, their momentum carried them through. They hit something, but the momentum kept them moving forward. Well, it's important that we do that. Now, why this goes along today is the worship that we experienced this morning and that we have been experiencing is the key to all of it. But we have to understand that the enemy wants to stop the momentum. We came in here Sunday night with a little bit of a struggle, and I want to just talk about that real quick. And part of that problem was, is we was tired, and we were off focus, and we wanted the worship team to get us in that place. But if you're going to be the person that's going to continually rely on the worship team to get you in that place, we'll lose momentum. You have to have a personal life of devotion to keep the momentum going, and a personal life of worship that helps keep the momentum going. That way, when we walk in here, it's no problem to have happen what we had happen this morning. You see why I had to speak this word? I was disobedient, and I apologize. And so momentum is a funny thing. And so one of the things that will also stop momentum is your giving. If we're having a hard time paying this and paying that, and we're constantly focused on the money's not where it needs to be, then that will stop momentum. And Denver said a key word here Sunday morning, and I have saw it, and Dulles saw it, but sometimes we're not so happy with the merge, or we feel out of place, or things aren't the way that they were, and we just kind of hold back. This isn't a time to hold back. It's not a time to hold back in worship. It's not a time to hold back from God. It's not a time to hold back from the calling on your life. This is a time to press forward. If you don't fully understand, hang in there, and you will fully understand what God is doing. Momentum is a funny thing. No, I won't. I've stepped around stuff for a long time. Has anybody watched football or basketball? Yeah. Sure you have. It's our number one sports. Have you watched a football game where the team has all the momentum, even if they're a lesser team? And it's hard to stop that momentum, isn't it? But if that other team can stop that momentum, what happens? There's a shift. But the problem is, if you get enough momentum and you get far ahead in points, that other team, no matter, even if they do shift the momentum, usually the game will end before they can score enough points to win the game. You have to understand, to the enemy, this isn't to me and it isn't to you. To the enemy, this is a game. He loves to play games with God's people, and he loves to play games with God's church, and he's been doing it for a long, long time. So you have to get serious and you have to stop playing the game. We're going to carry the momentum. We're going to continue forward with the momentum, and I'm not going to allow the enemy to stop me. I can promise you this. The enemy is going to continually sow lies into your head. Oh, this one doesn't like me, and that one doesn't like me, and, you know, I had this one, and now I don't have that one. And it's a continual game that's going to go over in your head. You think that you're the only one that deals with it, but as leaders, we deal with it as well. And you have to silence the voice of the enemy, and you have to know what is absolute truth. Quit allowing your mind and your emotions to play with you and continually be in that place, because, to be honest with you, you're not sure whether to commit or you're not sure whether to go back. I would encourage you to commit. I would encourage this house. This is a prophetic declaration that we are going to keep the momentum going. We're going to keep momentum going. We are going to be a breed of people that know how to worship. And I love it. I'm in a season to where I'm worshiping better at home than I am corporately with you. And it's never been that way for me, I'll be honest. I've always waited for the group of people and the hype to come together and to get into worship, but I'm not in that place right now. Get in that place. Now, I'm going to allow my beautiful and lovely and talented, and you say, oh, you're just, no, it's just kind of the place we're in right now. I want to let you know before she gets up here, the things that she is going to talk to you about, we've endured. We've had to walk out. I'm not saying we have a perfect marriage, but we have come a long way, baby, from where we were at. Amen? And I am in love with my wife, and I am tickled to death to be married to her and have the family that I've got. And I just want to just speak that to all you guys. So when you get up here and she gets up here and begins to speak to you, she's coming from a place of, I've did it the wrong way, I'm doing it the right way. So you might better listen to her. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. I love you guys. Come on, sweetie.
Happy 4th, y'all. Thank you, Lord, for freedom, right? So a lot of us say the old ball and chain, we're not free when we get married, are we? Oh, but there's such freedom when there's love in a marriage. Oh, it can be so good, guys. I want to recap. I don't know if all of you were here the last time I spoke, but I was doing the 4 laws of marriage. If you got a notebook, come on, get it out. Let's write down. Let's learn this morning. I told you that a lot of people come to church and they want to learn about Jesus and all this good stuff, but they never want to learn how to be a good husband or a good wife or how to serve each other in marriage. So Hosea says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. So I want to help you learn this morning, okay? So this goes out to the single people who are not yet married. Okay. You got to be in unity with yourself and God before you can be in unity with your spouse. Okay? You can't enter a marriage with your head all messed up and you rejected and this, because you're bringing that right into your marriage. And then you're going to reject your wife and you're going to reject your children. And it's going to be a mess. So come on, young people. Y'all try to get this right before you ever step into those wedding vows. Because when you step in, hey, you're in it. You took a vow under God and you're there. The Bible says a woman is bound to her husband once she takes those vows, okay? So get in unity with God. Get in unity with yourself. Heal. Take the proper healing. Pastor Doyle has been preaching about healing, rejection, all these great things. Let God heal you. Let take in those teachings. I've got notes and notes. So we don't have the ability to truly love without the Holy Spirit, right? He is love. He's who puts it in our heart. So, all right, write this down. Marriage only works in first place. So if your job is before your marriage, money comes before your marriage, children comes before your marriage, you're hanging out with your friends more than you do your wife, it's not going to work. It's not going to work. You're headed down the wrong road, okay? I told y'all this. We get married or we start dating, that attraction. Oh, gosh, we can't wait to see them. We want to FaceTime them. We want to see what they look like. We want to be on the phone with them all the time. Well, once we get married, guys, that only lasts for about 12 months. And then they start leaving their dirty socks on the floor. And they don't put up the food that they got out of the refrigerator. And you're behind on picking up everything. And that attraction just isn't there anymore. Because you get to see that other side of who they really are once we get married. And come on, guys. Let's start picking up our socks and put our towels in the hamper. You know, and women too. Hey, men shouldn't be picking up after us. Okay, so a man leaves his mother and father, and he cleaves to his wife. He cleaves to her. Cleave in the Hebrew means cling. He doesn't stay at mommy 7 days a week. He's there with his wife. He becomes her provider. He becomes her protector. Let me tell you guys something. Let me tell you ladies something. You get, ladies, daughters get their value from their father. So if you got a wife that doesn't have a lot of value, it's your job. You took her hand in marriage. You are hers. Now it's your job to start placing value in her. Okay? It's your job to lift her up, build her up, and start showing her that she's valuable. If the dad didn't do it, it's your job to do it. Don't tear her down. Okay. God created a marriage to operate as the most important human relationship in our lives. It only succeeds on that level. God has put a need in all of us. The number one human need is love. And if we're not feeling that at home, we can become so depressed and we're miserable and we treat everybody else bad and our kids aren't happy and there's tension everywhere we go. Y'all ever walk into a room and a couple's been fighting? Man, you could cut it with a knife, couldn't you? The tension is so thick, you know something's not right. Listen, we live in a voice-activated kingdom. We have the ability to bring heaven to earth. And that's what our marriages should be like. We should be speaking things to each other that it's heavenly. You know, it's good. Home is my safe place. I can go home and I know my husband's going to embrace me. I'm not afraid. That's my safe place. That's my good place. So, all right. 1 Peter 3:7 says, husbands must give honor to your wives. Treat your wife with understanding as you live together. She may be weaker than you are, but she is your equal partner in God. Treat her as you should so your prayers won't be hindered. Did you know that if you're not treating your wife right and you're not honoring her, then your prayers aren't going to be answered? You put a block between you and God. Okay? So, all right, the number one is the law of priority. I already gave you this last time. But he or she belongs to you first. They come before kids and everything else. Not in an unhealthy way, though. God is a jealous God. God put jealousy in us. It's a natural instinct, okay? So when our spouses begin to put things in front of us, I know at times in our marriage, and like Sean said, it's not always been perfect. He would put hunting or fishing or his cell phone or his ministry or whatever before me, and I always felt so rejected. When we first got together, he was an alcoholic, so it was always the alcohol that come in between us. And then when he got saved, he went crazy for God. He was in church 7 nights a week, so I was still like, hey, you know, where do I fit in this place? And it took growing and it took finding balance in our life to figure out. It took knowledge. It took learning about this stuff to figure out, you know, how to treat each other. All right. Four ways to prioritize your spouse. First comes your sacrifice. We sacrifice for one another. I knew Monday morning when I got the phone call that my grandmother had passed away, I didn't have to ask Sean to be by my side. I didn't have to ask him to go to Bluefield with me. He was there. He's my partner. He supported me. He, you know, there was no questioning whether he was going to be there for me or not. Our quality time is essential. Our energy, what will we put into it? You can put all the romance into it if you want, but if you're not thoughtful and kind on a daily basis, that one night of romance is not going to last you too long, guys. You know, get up and fix her an egg every now and then. Don't expect her to serve you constantly. Get up and serve her. If it's the overflowing trash can, get up and take out the trash. Okay? Bishop said that men don't see that trash can. It doesn't call out to them. You know, women go by. I mean, even my daughter Lauren was like, she walked through the kitchen the other day. She's like, does anybody else not see this overflowing trash can? You know, she's 10. She's seeing that already. The boys have walked by it all day long, but, you know. She's seen that, you know, okay? Okay, in our attitude. You know, a lot of us feel rejected in our marriages sometimes because our husbands doesn't make us feel like they want to be with us. They want to be elsewhere. They don't want to hang out with us. Or maybe it's you. Maybe you want to spend more time with your girlfriends than you do at home. You know, I had an aunt that when she got married, she spent more time at my grandmother's house than she ever did at home. My grandmother told me, she said, I would tell her all the time, take some dinner home to your husband. She said he can fix his own. Well, they wound up in divorce. Okay? It's our job to serve one another. So, if your spouse is always complaining or nagging, you're breaking law number one. Okay? If they're begging for your time, you're breaking the law. All right, number two is the law of pursuit. So marriage is a work. It's a passionate pursuit. We're clinging, guys. We're clinging to our wives. So I told y'all when we're dating, I used Charisse and Ron, love their hearts. We tried hard to impress them. We were sensitive to their needs. We aimed to please, you know. I was fixing Sean dinner all the time. I was showing him how I could cook. Man, that's a way to a man's heart right there, because he likes some food, you know. I dress nice. I put some perfume on. I put my makeup on. I fix my hair. But when we become familiar with each other, sometimes we put on our night sacks, ladies, and we crawl up in the bed, and we don't start looking so cute at home anymore. And they're like, huh. When they go out into the world, they start seeing pretty little things again. And we become the stumbling block. It's we should get up and look good and feel good about ourselves. We should. We should put on that makeup for our husbands. We should serve them in that way. But we take each other for granted, and we stop the good behaviors. And the results of that are the lost passion, there's boredom in the marriage, and there's tension. We get comfortable. We turn to our jobs. We turn to the kids. We turn to the friends. We turn to money. And I told you this, Jimmy Evans said, when the grass starts looking greener on the other side, it's time to water your own. Okay? Water your own. So what's the results of this? We have constant fighting. We're always, you know, it's always tense at home. There's never any peace. We're always biting at each other. There's laziness. There's apathy. And we begin to take each other for granted. Here's an example. When me and Sean first started dating, I had panic disorder so bad. Sometimes 4 and 5 times a day I would have panic attacks. And when I first met him, he would hold me and he'd tell me, it's all going to be all right, sweetheart, you know, and he would rock me and he would make me feel so secure, and he would talk me through those panic attacks until I was okay. Well, about 2 years into that, he got tired of it. It becomes so familiar, he was just like, oh my gosh, here we go again. Can you not quit this stuff? And I couldn't. I had a panic disorder. I had severe panic attacks. And that's what happens when we become familiar with one another. We stop nurturing each other the way we did at first. Right? So, there's hope for restoration. God is the God of reconciliation. He wants you to always be like you're dating each other. He wants you to be that happy and that giddy when you, because I can still see Sean up here preaching sometimes. I'm like, oh, he's so cute. Look at him, you know? You should still feel that way about your husband 50 years later, guys. We should still have that passion for one another. You know, isn't he cute? I love him. Jesus said in Revelation 2:4, I have this complaint against you. You don't love me or each other as you did at first. Repent. Look how far you've fallen in your marriages. Look how far you've come from where you were when you first started dating each other. Turn back to me and do the works you did at first. Start treating each other the way you did at first. Your spouse is supposed to be honored and respected. They are your better half. Isn't that awesome? All right, number three is the law of possession. We become one flesh. We become Mr. and Mrs. Boom. You're no longer one, but two. So if you're selfish, you're going to live through a brutal, brutal marriage. Okay, guys? It's about sharing everything and possessing nothing apart. And I see this a lot. I worked with a gentleman, him and his wife, you know, and I don't know if you do, but if you share different bank accounts, that's division in marriage. You're dividing half. And he would pay the bills and she would buy the groceries and certain things. And I just thought when he told me that, I was like, wow, you guys are married. Everything's supposed to belong to each other. When I first quit work, I had such a sense of finding my worth in my job when I first quit work, I felt bad because I was spending Sean's money. And that's the way I felt. But Sean's never made me feel that way. What was his was mine. And he took care of me. And, you know, he was always so wonderful about that. He'd just hand over the paycheck. Here you go. That's awesome. So here's two ways we violate the law of possession. One is dominance, that I'm in control. Ladies, if you're in control of your marriage, then you're out of the will of God. Who's got your back? The Bible did not say that Jesus had your back. The Bible said that Jesus had his back, and your husband was your covering. So if you're always got to be in control and you make all the decisions and he can't do anything, you're out of line. Jesus is behind him. Your husband is behind you. You are the announcer. Number two is independence. I'll do this thing on my own. And I had an independent spirit for so long, I didn't need John for nothing. I worked. I make my own bills. I pay my own thing. I can do what I want. It was hard to come under that submission. And submission, ladies, doesn't mean that he's going to beat you over the head and tell you everything to do. That's not submission. But submission is saying, okay, I feel like, I'll tell you this example. I was in the shower shortly after Sean got saved. And I was praying about finances and this stuff and all this because I had been the one that come to Jesus first. And shortly right after he saved, I remember the Lord speaking to me, and he said, I'll speak to Sean about those things now. Ooh, I thought, well, okay. So it was hard for me to submit, but I did. I learned, okay? It's giving and sharing create the strongest bond of intimacy possible. Selfishness and independence destroy the spirit of marriage. It's unity. Unity in here, when we're married to Christ, look what can happen. So all money belongs to you equally, regardless of where it came from or who worked for it. He should never hold that over your head that I worked for and this is my money. No, he held your hand in marriage. He said that he would take care of you. He said that he would be your protector and your provider. Okay? You should never go make a decision without your spouse. You're a team. We become a team. Okay? We should never deprive each other of sexual relations. That's hard. Because a lot of times women will use that to manipulate the man. And do you know manipulation is witchcraft? So when you do that, you bring that into your marriage. I've seen that. I've seen women say that before, you know. I don't own my body. He does. He don't own his body. I do. And we start to deprive each other of those things. Then the enemy has a foothold into our marriage. And he begins to show your husband the pretty little thing at work. And he begins to put those thoughts in him that you don't want him. So he finds his needs somewhere else. I don't care if you don't feel like it. I don't care if you got a headache. You know? I think if you really were sick, I think your husband would be understanding. Okay? 1 Corinthians 7:4 says the wife gives authority over to her body, to her husband, and the husband gives authority over to his body, over to his wife. This is the biggest thing that destroys marriage. Did you know sex was a man's number one or number two need? Do you know where it falls at for a woman? Number 13. Seriously. So if we're going to honor and respect each other, I mean, if that's one of his needs, then I have to serve him. Okay? Okay, I don't want that devil. I don't want Satan to have a stronghold in my marriage. You know? Okay. So don't use your body to control or to manipulate. All right, here's the thing. The church has made sex dirty. Okay? They've made it dirty. Sex was a gift from God. It was to multiply, and it was for pleasure for each other. It's not to go out and give it to everybody else, but it's between a man and a woman. Sex is not dirty when it's in a covenant relationship, guys. We got to quit looking at it like that, because the world has perverted it because we wouldn't teach about it. Okay? Number four is the law of purity in marriage. We become naked and exposed. Purity means we're open and honest, and there's nothing to hide from one another. Okay? Just like Adam and Eve, when they were in the garden with God, they were naked. They were exposed to one another. And then they sinned. So when we begin to hide things from each other as couples, and we're not honest, we begin to walk into sin. I think I told you guys that. When I used to go shopping with my girlfriends, I would hide my bags in the back of the car until Sean left so I could carry them in the house, because I didn't want him to know how much money I spent. Sean used to be such a penny pincher, he'd call me in Bluefield, and he'd be on the bank thing saying, "Well, I seen you spent this, and I seen you spent that." You know, he would tell me what I spent before I got home. I take care of the bills now, so I can kind of do, you know. Love is hard. When we begin to hide things from each other, they felt that they needed to hide, so they put fig leaves to cover themselves. And then they began to play the blame game. Have y'all done that in your marriage? Played the blame game? Well, this happened because of you. This was your fault. You know, we don't have any money this week because you spent all of it on this. Or you know, just that's just an example. But we begin to transfer blame. And guess what? They become our enemy. And it's not unity anymore. The marriage is split right down the middle. And that is the enemy's number one. That's what he wants to do in your marriage. He wants to split you right down the middle. Because if he's got you split, then you're not as powerful as a team. Right? Two is better than one. Right? All right. So when we sin against each other, we lose trust. We lose sensitivity towards each other. We begin to hide our differences, and we put our fig leaves on. And that means I can't be safe at home anymore. That means I can't relax at home anymore. Okay? Our hearts are the holy place of our bodies, and we begin sinning against one another. We kill with our words, and we destroy with our actions. Let me tell you something. I have destroyed my husband with my tongue in the past. I have tore him down. I can remember him looking at me one time and said, "Amy, I don't feel like I do anything right in your eyes." And he didn't. I never picked out one good thing about him. I told him everything he did wrong. And you know what it did, guys? It drove him away. And you know, we have a problem in the body of Christ right now. We got little foxes running around in the body of Christ that are killing each other with words. They're running around trying to correct everybody. They're not leaving that up to the ministers or the spiritual fathers to do. They're going around telling people what they need to wear, what they need to listen to, what they need to do here. And you know what? All you're doing is giving them a bunch of rules before they ever enter the house of God. You're not teaching them anything about your relationship with Jesus Christ. They don't need that. Stop being the little fox that's ruining the whole vine. Get them here. Show them your relationship with Him. And if we would start showing our relationship and how good Jesus is instead of telling them what they can't do, they would come in here and the Holy Spirit would convict them. You know, I had my mom this week. I mean, she lost her mom. And Wednesday, she went and bought her an outfit. She bought her some pants like these. And a lady came to her house and she said, "Well, you know, that's not very appropriate for a funeral." You know, my mom was going through enough. She didn't need to hear that religious mumbo jumbo. She didn't need that. She needed love and she needed support. When's the church going to become love? If we can't become love at home with our spouses, we can't become love here. I'm really tired of going out and hearing all the brothers and sisters talk about everybody else and beat down the pastor after on Sunday dinner at Applebee's. Come on, guys. It's our time to be a family. It's our time to become love. It's our time to build each other up. Come on. I'm tired of that. You wonder why nobody's filling our pews. We're making people stumble. And we're going to stand accountable before the King of Glory. And we're going to have to answer to why this one didn't make it in. Oh, because you told him he couldn't wear a hat in church. So he's in hell with that hat on because you wouldn't let him in the back door. Come on, guys. We got to get over this stuff. We got to quit beating people over the head. You know, me and Sean, when we were at ITL, we were growing. We had people coming in. And we had a couple in our church. We didn't know it was going behind the scenes. And they would message people on Facebook. And they would start beating them over the head. And they would tell them, you need to come out of that sin. You need to do this. You need to do that. And people were leaving and we didn't know why. So stop being the little fox in the body of Christ. Become love. Go out there and meet somebody's need today and love on them a little bit. And leave it up to the leaders and the spiritual fathers of the house to correct. Stop correcting everybody. Your only job is to love this morning. Amen? All right, so we got to quit destroying each other with our actions and our words. So the greatest thing about marriage is we're two servants in love. And the worst thing about marriage is two masters in love. All right? They say the one with the first longest toes, the boss of the families, ain't that what they tell you? I don't know. I think it's a partnership. It's a team effort. We work together. All right, so if I can meet my own needs and you can meet your own needs, we wouldn't need marriage, would we? So I'm going to give you some needs of a woman and needs of a man, okay? So the four major needs of a woman. Guys, put your ears on. I want y'all to listen. The number one need of a woman is security. She leaves her father. Her hand is wed with yours. She needs to feel secure, okay? She needs to know that she's provided for. She needs to know that she's sacrificed for. And she needs to know that you're going to be sensitive with her. Take care of her. The Bible says, for husbands, this means love your wives as Christ loved the church. He gave up his life for her to make her holy and clean, washed by the cleansing of God's word. He did this to present her to himself as a glorious church, without a spot or a wrinkle or any other blemish. Let her know that she's on your mind today. If you're not with her, it's a short text or, hey, babe, you're beautiful. I tell Sean all the time, boy, you're good looking today. It's okay. It's okay to love on one another. It's okay to hold your spouse's hand in church. It's okay to show affection. Stop making it dirty that you want to hold your spouse's hand here. It's okay. Reach over and grab their hand and let them know that I'm thinking about you. Just a small gesture like that, okay? Number two, all right, guys, y'all got your ears on? Soft, non-sexual affection, okay? Just because she comes up and cuddles with you on the couch doesn't mean that's what she's wanting to do. All right, I know it's hard for you. I know it's hard for you guys to understand that. But sometimes I just need you to put your hand on my back and rub my back and know that you love me and know that you care for me and know that you just want to hold me, okay? I want you to listen. That's hard for a man because it ain't all about feelings. She may come home from work and she may want to tell you all about her day. Don't just say, God, honey, I don't want to hear all this. Listen to her. That's all she needs from you, is you to listen to her. Okay. I wrote this down. This is funny. It says, don't compare your wife's body to another woman who has not paid the price to bear your children. Don't. Okay. Number three, open and honest communication. She wants to talk. Women are made to talk. They like to talk. You talk to me and Charisse, we like to talk, don't we? We want to talk. We'll sit and talk for hours at Bob Evans, won't we, Charisse, and just keep on going. You have to make us leave because we like to talk. But she wants to talk to you, and I want to tell Sean every detail of my day, okay? And I want you to know how I feel about it. Men don't want to know. Men don't want to know feelings. They ain't about feelings. They just, okay. And number four is leadership. A woman wants you to lead them. A good husband provides a nurturing, protective environment like a greenhouse. Okay? It's his job. His job to make you feel good about yourself. It's his job to make sure that you're growing. It's his job to validate you and what you're doing. He partners with God to bring you to your fullest potential. Husbands, you should be partnering with God to bring your wife to her fullest potential. You shouldn't always be thinking about you and your ministry. You think about where you can push her to. Okay? All right. Y'all ready for the man's? I'm going to go back to leadership. It's not to dominate, guys. She is your equal. She needs you to make decisions and be the loving initiator of the home. I'll tell this story on Sean. He calls me one day in Bluefield. I'm out shopping. Well, the kids want to know if they can go to mom's. Well, you're an adult male. Can you not make that decision? You're home with them. And I was like, but he was always so used to his mom making all the decisions because his dad worked all the time. So he called and I was like, no. Now on you make those decisions. They're with you. They're in your, you do it. You don't have to ask me. So you make decisions on your own and you be the initiator of love at your home. A mom makes a home, don't they? A man provides the house, but a mom makes it a home. She got the apple pie bacon in the oven and keeps it clean and keeps the children in line. But it takes both of you. It really does. It takes both of you. All right. Y'all ready for the men's needs, girls? Listen, girls. The major number one need of a man is respect and honor. Okay? Give me that other paper out of my Bible thing. I wrote something down on it. All right. Respect and honor. They don't want love. They want respect. Women want to feel loved. Men want to be honored and respected. So you have to respect your spouse before you can fully love them. You have to honor them. Honor not shown is honor not earned. Honor not expressed is not honor, okay? If you're not expressing honor towards your husband, if you're not telling him, thank you for working this week, and thank you for providing for our family, and thank you for bringing the food on the table, honor and respect him. Just because you may be stuck at home with little babies all day, I know your job's hard too, but he deserves honor and respect because he's worked hard too. Amen? All right, number two. Sex. This is number two. Neat. Okay. Ugh. Men want sex. That's how God programmed them. That's a number two need. Okay. It's a need. Accept it and commit to it, ladies. Okay. Just say, okay. My grandmother used to tell my mom and us, well, it's a duty, ladies. Just do your duty. That's the way the old folks believed. It's just a duty. Go do your duty. Come on, guys. Come on, ladies. That's crazy. This is how men feel loved. So when you're not and you're withholding, they don't feel very loved by you. Okay? Oh, gosh. You know us ladies, when we get in that love story, we watch Nicholas Sparks and we're like, oh God, I want my husband to come through the door. I want him to treat me like that. Oh, I'm just, Hollywood is so full of bull. Because he's going to come through the back door. He's going to smell bad. He's going to be grouchy. He's going to be hungry. He's ready for dinner. He don't want to fool with you or the kids right now. He wants to sit down in his recliner and he wants to relax. But you know us ladies. Oh, God, if he just come through the door like Tom Cruise or whoever. Well, let me tell you something. You know what that is for a man? Pornography. Okay? Your love story to you is pornography to them. Man, she is not that lady on the TV that you've seen when you were 14. She should never be treated, talked to, looked at. That is devaluing a woman. So if you're there and you have that, repent. Ask God to remove those images from your head. You should never take that into your bedroom and begin to treat your wife that way. She's to be loved. You should be gentle with her. You should be sensitive with her needs. She's not some wildcat that you've seen on TV, okay? I'm sorry, this is hard, but it's true. And this is a big problem in marriages. It is. It really is. All right. Fun and friendship. Men want a companion. They want to have fun with their wives. They don't need a mom. And they want you to sacrifice something for them. Wives, it's not our jobs to correct our husbands. And that's hard. You can let him know how you feel about the situation. If you don't agree, go in your prayer closet and pray to God and ask the Holy Spirit to do something with him. He'll fix you or he'll fix him, one or the other. It's not your job to correct. I've tried that many times. You know what it did? It caused a big wedge in my marriage. And it didn't help nothing. It made things worse. I have learned when I don't agree, I do go in my prayer closet. I do talk to God. And sometimes God corrects me, but sometimes God corrects him. Sometimes Sean will come to me 3 days later and say, oh, I'm sorry about that. I know God's been with him. You know what I mean? Go to your prayer room. All right. So the last one is domestic support. Like I told you, we have, ladies, a gift of nesting. We turn the house into a home. But it does not mean that she is your slave, gentlemen. I've seen men sit back and wait. Just walk right by the kitchen and go sit in the recliner and then ask their wife to bring them a cold drink. I'm not Sean's slave, and he's not mine. You know, last night I'd already went to bed. He walked upstairs, so I asked him, would you bring me water? Yeah, he did. Sean serves at home. Sean brings me coffee every morning. He gets up first. He makes my coffee. When I was at my mother's Tuesday with my parents trying to get funeral arrangements made, he stayed behind. He washed all the clothes, and he cleaned the house. When I went home, I didn't have anything to do. And I'm not just lifting him up, but it is my job to announce him. It is my job to announce him the right way. I'm not going to talk with you about all his faults. In front of you, I'm going to announce him like he's a king. And ladies, you shouldn't be at dinner with your friends and running your husband down. You take it to God when you got a problem with him. You don't take it to the dinner table with all your girlfriends about what a crappy job he's doing at home. That's dishonoring and that's disrespect. Okay? So, do you honor each other like you're married to Jesus? Do you honor each other? Let me tell you something. He's God's child and so are you. When you speak to your husband, are you speaking to him like he's a child of God? Are you speaking to him like he's God's son? Are you speaking to her like he's God's daughter? Because I'm going to tell you, you don't come in the way of daddy and his girls. You don't get in the way of daddy and his sons. So we need to begin to lift each other up, build each other up, treat each other, affirm each other. Compliment each other in public. Sean affirms my gifts and my abilities in front of people. He builds me up. And that's where we're going to have to get, body of Christ. We're going to have to start not always looking for the bad in one another, But seeing the, I don't care if somebody don't have anything good, you look for the good. You begin to look for that one thing, and you begin to build a foundation on that one good thing. Because when you build somebody's esteem up, you're going to see a change. When you begin to love them even in their faults, like the Bible tells us to love them in their faults, you're going to see a change. They're not going to start feeling like they're that same old piece of duty that they've been called their whole life. They're going to start to see self-worth. They're going to say, somebody believes in me. And I can do this. There is, you know, all things are possible with God. They're going to believe different about themselves. And that's the same thing with a husband and a wife. If all you're hearing is you're no good and you don't do nothing right at home, you're building yourself an enemy. You're building yourself a war at home. We got to watch our tongues. We got to learn self-control. You know, I see Christians all the time see you out in Walmart and run the other way. That's not love. Christians not speak to you. That's not love. I'm sorry, we're going to have to do away with the flesh. Just because we disagree in the flesh doesn't mean we can't love in the spirit, guys. We got to take off our lemonade sour face and become love. Become Jesus to one another. Even at home. You don't get to relax when you go home. You still got to be Jesus there too. All right? You got to be holy there. You can't go home cussing and fussing and tearing each other down and talking about everybody in the church. And that's not Jesus. What kind of example are we leaving our children when we do that? When we don't praise and honor and at home, what's our children think? We're some kind of freako when we come to church and they see us doing that? Well, they only do that one time a week. We need to show them that at a young age, that we can lift our hands at home and we can praise Jesus, so we can get on our hands and knees. That's one thing I said about my grandmother at her funeral. She was almost 99 years old, but she never compromised in her faith. It didn't matter who was at her house. When it come for prayer time, it was prayer time. And you all got on your hands and knees, and you all prayed. And she taught me that. She taught me strength. She taught me where to go find it. She, you know, you didn't sit down on a meal and not have prayer and thank God for it. She showed me how to love, regardless, unconditional love. She loved me unconditionally. Even when I was in the nastiest pit of sin, she never wavered. She didn't beat me over the head and tell me what I was doing wrong. She loved me because I was her family. And that's the problem in the church. As soon as somebody does something wrong, we kick them under the bus. We tell them everything they're doing wrong, and we won't love them through it. They're going through it because of something. Something hasn't been healed on the inside. And it's our job to love them. It's not our job to push them back out into the world where they'll find a place to fit in. So we're going to stop focusing on our spouse's faults, and we're going to start trying to fix ours. So if you got a mouth and all you ever do is tell your husband what he don't do right, I want you to stop this week. And I want you to start looking at things he does do around the house. And I want you to start affirming him and honoring him and telling him what a good job he does do. And guys, I want you to do the same for your wives. You know, when she comes out of the bathroom getting ready, just tell her how pretty she is again. Keep that fire. Keep that passion for each other. All right, I'm going to give y'all 4 steps to become best friends with your spouse. And then I'm done. So if you got anything to add, Doyle. So number one is to be faithful to one another. Friendships are developed or lost in the good or bad times. So even in the bad times, even in the good times, we have to be faithful to one another. That goes for husbands, that goes for friends, that goes for family. We have to remain a friend at all times. Number two is we believe in each other. We build each other up. 1 John 3:18 says, "Dear children, let's not merely say that we love each other, but let us show the truth by our actions." I should never question when I leave you if you love me or not. You should never question when you leave my presence if I love you or not. I shouldn't have to go home and say, well, so-and-so kind of acted funny today at church. They didn't speak or they didn't, you know. I shouldn't have to question. You should become love. It should be radiating through your skin. You need to put off the old flesh. When you're out in that parking lot, if you had a bad morning, you need to say, God, renew my heart, renew my mind. Let me walk in here with love radiating off of me. I'm here to make somebody else's day. I'm here to make somebody feel good about themselves. When somebody leaves my presence, I think they should feel like they just encountered Jesus. They should. They should. That's the problem with the body of Christ. All we do is complain about this, or we're not healed, or we're sick, or we ain't got no money, or so-and-so said this, or the preacher didn't do this right. He didn't even come visit me. Or come on, guys. We got to grow up. We got to mature spiritually. We got to learn when to, just when we're having those feelings, to be able to control our emotions. Because a lot of times our emotions just fly out of our mouth before we ever think about it. We're not ruled by our emotions. We're ruled by the Spirit that lives on the inside. All right? So I should never have to question Sean's love for me. I should know. I should feel it. You should feel your spouse's love. You should know that they're there for you when you need them. They should be your safe place. All right? Colossians, number three is honesty. And we went over this one a little bit. But don't lie to each other. Colossians 3:9 says, don't lie, for you've stripped off your sinful nature and all your wicked deeds. 2 Corinthians 8:21 says, we are careful to be honorable before the Lord. But we want everyone else to see that we're honorable too. Don't just be honorable before him. Be honorable for your brothers and sisters and your husbands and your wives. They see you. Your husband and your wife see what you act like at home. They know. They could probably come to church and tell a whole bit of stories on you. If they ever unloaded the truck, you might be in big trouble. We've got to start being honorable at home. Showing honor to one another. And number four is bearing each other's burdens. Galatians 6:2 says we share each other's burdens, and in this way we obey the law of Christ. So a friend is not somebody, guys, church, that sets back. You know, Dole's done called for a work day, a couple work days. A friend is not somebody that sets back and watches somebody else do all the work. We come in as a team. I'm a team with my husband. We work together. We build our marriage together. We build our family together. We build our church together. So call yourself a good friend this morning. Say, I'm going to be there when they need me. I'm going to come put in 8 hours painting a wall in the church. I'm going to be there when they need me. They can count on me. I'm going to be reliable. I'm going to be there for church. My attendance is not going to waver. I'm going to help build this body of Christ. I'm going to reach my city. Sean used to say this all the time. If this church was made up of only you, would it be full every Sunday? Would the bills get paid? Would the worship get sang? If it was all you, what would happen? That's serious. We are accountable to one another, and we are accountable before a holy God. And when we start slipping away out that door and the world begins to grab us in, it's so hard to come back. Reach out to your brothers and sisters that you don't see. It's not just the preacher's job. It's your job. If you claim to be a real brother or sister, if it was your sister and you hadn't seen her in months, or your brother, you'd call and check on them. We are a family at Father's house, and it's our job. It's your job to check on them. It's your job to go visit in the hospital. It's your job to go pray with them. It's your job to show up when somebody needs you. You know, I put this on Facebook the other day. When somebody goes through loss or somebody loses somebody, we always say this, well, I'm praying for comfort for you. You know what? Be the comfort. Be the comfort. Be there for them. I don't care if you don't know what to say to them. Just be there. Show them that you support them. Show them that you love them. Show them that, you know what, I'm here without a word being spoken. I'm here for you. That presence alone means a lot. You know, that means so much when you see people just come to see you. It does, guys. When are we going to start being that family and that body? That by no means nothing can separate us. Because the love of Christ lives in us. Amen? That's all I have. Thank you, Doyle.
I think there's nothing to add to that except repent and get saved. You can stand with me. Listen, I hope you're beginning to see every time we do things. I mean, every time I see people speak, hear people speak, I hope you're starting to see you're part of the best church on the planet Earth. I mean, you know, so much I'm excited about, but, you know, so many people, how do you really be wide open prophetic, wide open apostolic, have all this stuff going on, and still take care of the whole family? Most people don't do that. You're beginning to see something very unique, because if we spend all our time on spiritual stuff and we don't take care of the whole family and the teaching and the training that we need. So this is a very, very, very exciting place, and that was an awesome, awesome job. I'm just so excited about a ministry that connects the dots on all of it. It's got the presence of God so strong you can't stand up. It's got the worship, but it's got the teaching, not only spiritual teaching, but practical teaching. That's an awesome place to go. So if you're not excited, I am. So, Father, we bless you and we seal this time in you. Lord, we thank you. We do thank you right now, Lord, for freedom. We thank you for the United States of America. We recognize that your sovereign hand has been on this nation from its inception. And we thank you, Lord, that it has never lifted. We thank you, Lord, for righteousness being established in this nation. And we thank you, Lord, that the greatest days we've ever seen. We thank you, Lord, that there is a reformation spirit happening in America. That you're releasing reformers. And Lord, that we're going to reestablish the foundations of this nation. So we honor you and we thank you for our country. Father, I thank you for this ministry. I thank you for every person here. I thank you, Lord, that it's an honor to serve them. I thank you for bringing them into my life so that I can have relationship with them. And Lord, I just thank you for everything that you have done, you are doing, and you are going to do. And we bless you and we honor you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Have a blessed day.